This weekend, we as Christians celebrate Ascension Sunday, and as Americans, we commemorate Memorial Day. I find the coincidence of the feast and the holiday inviting, for it asks us to use our minds, memories, and imaginations to look backward so as to look forward. Looking back with our memories helps us to find meanings that may serve as resources that can help us to look forward with inspiring hopes and creative possibilities. Our readings this evening may be viewed as ways by which the disciples looked backward so as to look forward. On that very first Ascension Day, they may have recalled the life of Jesus of Nazareth, whom they remembered as having lived, died, and risen. And then they looked forward to what they could only hope would one day be a new way of Jesus being present to them. And their hopes were rewarded 10 days later, when at the very first Pentecost, they were overcome by the presence of the Holy Spirit, who inspired them to believe in the resurrected Jesus and to live out his words, to go forth and teach all nations. At the same time, our nation's Memorial Day offers us, as citizens of this great nation, the same pedagogical process as the disciples, namely, to look backward so as to look forward. And so, my fellow parishioners and fellow Americans, in looking backward, we are led to ask, what are the resources from the past through which we can look with transcendent meanings so as to look forward with hope? In preparing for this Memorial Day, I found such a resource by reflecting upon another coincidence. That this year, Memorial Day falls on the anniversary of the birth of a former parishioner of Holy Trinity, President John F. Kennedy. And as you will read in this week's bulletin, Senator and then President John F. Kennedy, along with his wonderful wife, Jacqueline, were parishioners at Holy Trinity from 1952 until 1963. And so in looking back, so as to look forward, I wondered if some of the wisdom of our nation's 35th president has something to say to us, not only about yesterday or about today, but about tomorrow. And so I assembled some statements from a number of his speeches and placed them in the pamphlet, which you can obtain as you leave here tonight. Some of you may have picked them up beforehand, or it will be on the website of our parish. Now, I recognize that many of you know of the president in terms of the tragic assassination, but those of us old enough who heard and saw several of his speeches, when they were first delivered, they were quite inspiring. Today, when President Kennedy addressed that day the challenges of the nation of the past and our world, one came away with a sense of watching words that weaved into wisdom in his profound New England eloquence. Of course, I will not be able to proclaim his words in the strong Bostonian accent, but I invite you to listen and to watch them on YouTube, if you would. And I ask you to listen and ponder tonight, how might some of his statements still speak to us as a nation and as a world? One that I like to point out was the speech he gave sort of extemporaneously at the University of Michigan on October 14, 1960, when he was running for president. Then Senator Kennedy introduced the concept of the Peace Corps, a Peace Corps that was an image that became a reality through the wisdom and hard labor of Sergeant Shriver and all those who worked together. Here is what President Kennedy said on that October evening 1960. How many of you who are going to be doctors are willing to spend your days in Ghana? Technicians or engineers, how many of you are willing to work in the Foreign Service and spend your lives traveling around the world? Or your willingness to do that, not merely to serve 1 year or 2 years in the service, but on your willingness to contribute part of your life to this country, I think will depend the answer whether a free society can compete. I think it can. Then later, as president, on September 25th, 1961, he gave an address to the United Nations, which I think is so appropriate to hear again, given this week's tragedies in Manchester, the United Kingdom, and to the Coptic Christians in Egypt. These words on terrorism, sadly, are still relevant. Terror is not a new weapon. Throughout history, it has been used by those who cannot prevail, either by persuasion or example. But inevitably, they fail, either because men are not afraid to die for a life worth living, or because the terrorists themselves came to realize that free men cannot be frightened by threats, and that aggression would meet its own response. President Kennedy also recognized a new world order when, on the 4th of July, 1962, from the steps of Independence Hall in Philadelphia, he said these words, "In urging the adoption of the United States Constitution, Alexander Hamilton told his New Yorkers to think continentally. Today, Americans must learn to think intercontinentally." This past Friday evening at the Kennedy Center, I attended with my niece a ballet titled Frontier, which was inspired by the then President Kennedy's vision of space exploration, which he expressed at Rice University on September 9th, 1962. "There is no strife, no prejudice, no national conflict in outer space, as yet. Its hazards are hostile to us all. Its conquest deserves the best of all mankind, and its opportunity for peaceful cooperation may never come again. But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why 35 years ago fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is the one that we are willing to accept, one we are willing to postpone, and one which we intend to win, and others too." As a Catholic, President Kennedy occasionally corresponded with Pope John XXIII, the saintly pope who advised leaders of the world, of the United States and the Soviet Union, especially during the Cuban Missile Crisis, about the dangers of nuclear war. And the Pope later wrote an encyclical focused on peace titled Pacem in Terris. On June 3rd, 1963, Pope and later Saint John XXIII passed away. 1 week after this Pope's passing, with the Pope's encyclical no doubt on President Kennedy's mind, at a commencement from American University, Kennedy declared, "I have therefore chosen this time and this place to discuss a topic on which ignorance too often abounds, and the truth is too rarely perceived. Yet it is the most important topic on earth, world peace. What kind of peace do I mean? What kind of peace do we seek? Not a Pax Americana enforced on the world by American weapons of war, not the peace of the grave or the security of the slave. I am talking about genuine peace, the kind of peace that makes life on earth worth living, the kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope and to build a better life for their children. Not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, but peace for all time. The very next day, on June 11, 1963, in facing the serious rights challenging of his time, and suggesting that there can no lasting peace without a sense of justice, President Kennedy addressed the nation in these words. We are confronted primarily with a moral issue. It is old as the scriptures and as clear as the American Constitution. The heart of the question is whether all Americans are to be afforded equal rights and equal opportunities, whether we are going to treat our fellow Americans as we want to be treated. If an American, because his skin is dark, cannot eat lunch in a restaurant open to the public, if he cannot send his children to the best public schools available, if he cannot vote for the public officials who will represent him, if, in short, he cannot enjoy the full and free life which all of us want, then who among us would be content to have the color of his skin changed and stand in his place? Who among us, then, would be content with the counsels of patience and delay? Finally, allow me to quote one of the last speeches President Kennedy gave, which may be seen on the walls of the Kennedy Center. In his remarks at Amherst College, October 26, 1963, the husband of Jacqueline Kennedy stated, "I look forward to an America which will reward achievement in the arts as we reward achievement in business or statecraft. I look forward to an America which will steadily raise the standards of artistic accomplishment and which will steadily enlarge cultural opportunities for all of our citizens. And I look forward to an America which commands respect throughout the world, not only for its strength, but for its civilization as well. And I look forward to a world which will be safe, not only for democracy and diversity, but also for personal distinction." As may be seen on the plaque outside our church doors, on November 1st, 1963, the Feast of All Saints, 3 weeks before his tragic assassination, Holy Trinity Parish's parishioner and president walked out the doors of this church for the last time. His statements about the arts, about civil rights, about space exploration, about world peace, and on so many past, present, and future topics transcends his life and his death. On this Ascension Day, as we as Christians look back forward and into the look back, forward and forward with the disciples of Jesus, as we look backward forward with our fellow Americans on this Memorial Day weekend, may our minds and imaginations be blessed with a resourceful faith in God and in our nation's highest ideals, knowing that in the words of John F. Kennedy, parishioner and president, God's work must truly be our own.